Hi, this is Pastor John, and it is, what is today? It's the 22nd of, the 23rd of September, 2013. It's a Monday morning in Los Angeles, sunny, bright, just wonderful. Welcome to the webcast. 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, always being ready to give a defense to everyone that asks you for the reason for your hope, for your happiness, for your joy, for your tranquility of mind that is in you with meekness and fear. And you got to do it because a lot of folk are upset. I know the star athlete that stayed with me this morning, he got up and he said, how come you get me up out of bed early? I said, because you got to get up and go to school. Then you got to go to work and you got to do this. And he began to tell me, you're just doing that because you have a car and I have to get on the bus and I work and I went to the gym and I'm doing this and you don't have any mercy. Hey, when I was 21 years old, I knew exactly what I was doing. As a matter of fact, when I was 21 years old, the drill sergeant was coming in the barracks and turning bunks over, throwing GIs out of the bed. Yeah, that was in 1965 when I was drafted in the Army and I was in the barracks and old Sarge came in and tore the bunks open. When he said, on your feet, I was up out of that bed on my feet standing at attention, and a couple of lazy soldiers stayed in the bunk only to have their bunks turned over with them in it. I didn't laugh because I didn't want the Sarge to see me thinking that it was funny. It was a serious time. So I said, what you doing still laying in bed sleeping? Ah, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know. You know, they all talk back. They talk back because when you catch them in a fallacy, they want to argue with me. Well, thank you for joining me for today's webcast. I'm glad that you could. And you know what? Yeah, I want to talk about it. We're going to talk about dads a little bit because that's what daddies do. You know, daddy gotta talk with these boys and keep these boys right because these boys have been raised by their mamas and the mamas pamper them and baby them. And you know what the boys do? These youngsters argue like their mothers. It's like I'm talking with a woman. I'm saying I can't believe this. All right, let's fade out the music and let's get into this. We value our children and the gifts that they bring to the table because we know that our children are from God. We cannot get away from that. The Bible is very plain on that. But the worth of the parent is what I'm talking about. The worth of the parent. Because the value of our children are gifts from God. We see that in Psalm 127. Verses 3 through 5, meaning that they're worthy of honor and development. But my goodness, there has to be some discipline as you put forth value in your children. Not with the music, okay? There we go. Has to be some discipline, some real discipline. And so what we want to do is we want to talk about the value of a dad and a mom and in giving that discipline. And I'm going to do an old-fashioned Bible study. I'm not going to use my computerized Bible. I'm going to pick up my Bible here, my brown book here. I haven't picked it up in a while. And in doing so, I think, give me a little bit more volume here. There, that's much better. I won't have to strain. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. That's in the Old Testament scripture. Got time before I take off and go to work this morning. It's very important. By the way, you philosophy students that may be listening to me, the slides were up. Don't question me in the classroom this week. If you didn't get them, you didn't get them. All right? Simple as that. Deuteronomy 6. 4 through 9. It reads like this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Look at verse 7. And you shall teach them, what is the them? These words, God's words, to your sons, as you talk to them, as you sit with them in the house, and when you walk with them on the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. This means forever be putting God's commands into the heads of your children, and so that they might know how to live. Look at verse 8. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. In other words, even if it takes that, verse 9 I really like, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, of course, we don't do that. We're not going to be having the Word of God written all on our foreheads and all that. What he's trying to say is trying to keep that near to your children. They're going to need something, especially today, to keep them grounded, because there's so much to keep them, you know, very, very flighty. We believe that the dad is not only to teach spiritual life to the children, but that the dad is supposed to discipline the children. See, now we live in a society that if dad wants to pick up the razor strap and give little Johnny what for, we get ready to run to the popo. Hey, my daddy abused me. You know, you'd be surprised the parents that I speak to that tell me that they're afraid, literally terrified, to chastise their own children. And you know what? Very rarely did I have to do that to mine. Very rarely. As a matter of fact, I can remember maybe once spanking my daughters. You know, just spanking them, not whooping them. I've never whooped them. Though my wife told me once that when I had put a little strap on Leslie's legs, because Leslie would sass me. She would sass me in a minute. But I want you to look at this Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 13. Very interesting scriptures. Just write those down. Those verses right there, I'm not going to read them to you because I want you to read them, because you're going to think that they are, oh, they will overwhelm you. But dad is to discipline. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, I think I can handle that one. Well, because these are a lot of verses, and you know, the way that I do my new Bible studies now, I don't read all these verses to you because you're not going to retain them in your memory. I want you to go to it. Ephesians 6:4 reads like this, "And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." See, we have an obligation. We believe that the daddy is the one that sets the goals in the family. He leads the children into the discovery of God, life, personal responsibility, and celebration. The dad leads in all of that. He's the one that guides the family. Go to Psalms chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. I'll go there with you. I'm right there right now. Psalms 78, and we're going to look at verse, believe it or not, 72. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. That's what a shepherd does. That's what a father does. A father guides his children. So don't let the system, the police, the society tell you that you don't have that responsibility to do your own children like that. Indeed, you do. It is your God-given responsibility to do that to your children. You need to know that on this Monday morning. You have that responsibility. And we believe that the mom is to love their family. Now, see, you women are not left out of this. You're starting this week, and I'm not trying to, you know, to tell you to, disregard all of the other things that you have to do in life, but Titus chapter 2 is very interesting in the New Testament. Titus chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 says that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of the Lord may not be dishonored. We have been given specific guidelines of instruction if you're going to call yourself a Christian and live the godly life. That's the way you're supposed to live. There has to be some order. There's chaos in the young people's lives in this country today. Chaos because the young people don't think that they have to follow anyone, listen to anyone, that they can do anything. I was looking at one of the morning shows this morning as I was getting ready to take off of work, and it appears that Cher was in New York, the singer, Sonny and Cher, back in the day when I was a young man. Well, this old woman, as old as I am, she still looked pretty good for being almost 70 or above. She could be 70, I don't know. But she was singing a song called It's a Woman's World. And I thought about that because James Brown made his record It's a Man's World. Now they got all these women up there dressed in black leather, dancing around on the stage like they'll beat a man down. We the ones in charge. We the ones doing it. Society has changed on me. It has changed in midstream. I don't know what to make of it. I don't know how I'm going to survive it. I guess I just need God with me more and more to get through it. When you see me walking around sometimes when I go to work and walk around the campus, I have my shades on. I'm just trying to blot out what I see, because what I see is something completely alien to the way that I was raised. That culture that I was raised in is gone. It is good and gone. And, it's good and gone. Let me keep doing this. I don't want to get into this. All right, we believe that as believers that mom is to provide health for the home. You can just read Proverbs 31. The 31st chapter of Proverbs shows you how a woman is supposed to be guiding her home, how she makes money for the family, secures it, doesn't goof it off. I mean, these principles of life is right before us. And if we don't follow those principles of life, we're going to follow some other principles. And that's a difficulty in the world today. We have been following another agenda. I want to read this statement right here. And I wrote this statement. Somebody said it and I copied it. I don't know where I got it from. Just got it out of my stacks here. Many a young woman who opts for immoral sexual relationships does so because she can scarcely remember a time when her father so much as touched her. Unaffectionate dads, without wishing to do so, can trigger a daughter's promiscuity. All of this leads me to write with a great deal of passion. Dads, don't hold back your affection. Demonstrate your feelings of love and affections for both your sons and your daughters. And don't stop once they reach adolescence. They long for your affection and your appreciation. They will love you for it. More importantly, they will emulate your example when God gives them their own family. Now, I don't know where I wrote that from. I got it on an overhead projectile. I'd like to take that to the school and put it up and just show it to the students, but they'd miss it. Listen, all of us have been orientated into something. If our lives are miserable and not happy and not content, it's a good possibility that we've run into some foul play somewhere. So what I'd like you to do, I guess, as I give you a thought, we'll end up this thing in 15 minutes so you can go back to work and I can get to work. What I'd like you to do is to consider you're raising human beings, and that takes passion, courage, intelligence, diligence, and persuasiveness. Love your offspring. Comfort them. I meet so many youngsters, I'm telling you, these kids are ruined. These youngsters are ruined. When you set out in pasture to raise yourself without the affection of a parent to raise you properly and to give you proper instruction on how to do life, you will see the result of that in a shipwrecked life as you look at these young people today, as you listen to the music that they listen to. Well, this is your internet pastor, Pastor John Coleman, praying that you have a wonderful Monday and that you think about things on the lighter scale. As for me, I can't retire. I don't do the work of a pastor. I do the work of a professor now. I have to go to work, and I have to go to the college, and I have to teach philosophy. That's what I do. I want to say God bless you, folk, and whatever you do, stay in the Word.